The Blurred Truth. Unexplained.
Well, we introduced the world and the coast to Kickback Rakaz on their Halloween special. We thought, you know, we had so much fun. Let's get the team back again. And, oh, my God, have we got some really cool things. And you've got to, when you listen to this podcast, you've got to have YouTube up as well, because you've got to see exactly where the boys head to. And it's been a Maryborough special in the last month or so. Tell me about that. So you went to two places in Maryborough.
We certainly did, Belko. We went to the Maryborough Colonial Museum. Basically, it's like a military museum.
Yeah.
Interesting fact about that place there was that the first Australian to set foot on Normanby, the war, where the war was, was an Australian soldier.
Wow.
He's remembered there, is he? Yeah, he grew up and was born there. The funny thing about it was that when he was on the boat, he was a lieutenant. As soon as they hit the beach, he was a captain. As soon as he put foot on the shore and then did the campaign, he ended up as a lieutenant, major.
Well, so, battlefield promotion, just like within seconds.
Yeah, pretty much. He went from a lieutenant to a captain.
Yeah, because while he was on the boat, all his officers that were above him all got shot dead.
Yeah.
So as soon as he stepped foot off that boat onto shore, bang, straight away, a captain. Instantly, as soon as his foot touched the land, he was a captain. And then by the end of that actual
campaign,
it was major. Yeah, he was major.
God, I never knew about this guy. So it's centered around him. And is there? So in there, is that just a background, or is there some sort of presence and spirit within that museum?
I can tell you, we got some really interesting stuff there. They've got about 10,000 pieces of military history in there. And they've got pieces from every war that Australia has fought in, in all the years that Australia's been fighting.
Are you saying the objects get possessed?
Oh, yeah. Some of them do, yeah. Well, you've got to think, too, that, say, for example, a notepad. Person's got shot through the notepad, yeah? That's got that poor soul's blood on it.
Yeah.
Yeah? So, basically, something residuals, maybe they've attached to that notepad. They haven't said goodbye to their loved ones. Of course, there's something going to be attached to that.
Yeah.
So when we do an investigation, stuff like that is that it's got a history and a past. Sometimes it's a bloody history. And things do attach.
Is the more violent the action, does that seem to leave more of an imprint than, say, someone passing away in their sleep?
Oh, very much so. What do you think, Dan?
Yeah, well. I know you'd probably be better to answer this one.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of basically...
Of course. Well, you got to have a look. If someone has been killed violently, there's going to be energy that's left, something negative. Because they've been taken away from their loved ones.
Yeah.
You got to think, okay, well, this person's dead. They haven't said goodbye to their loved ones. They haven't made peace with themselves before passing away. And it's violent. So it's going to leave something behind. So in that case, when you go into an area that someone's been murdered in or a tragic accident's happened and they haven't had that chance to say goodbye, you've got to think that spirit is going to stay until it's done what it's...
God, I'd hate to be the night watchman there. Did you went in after hours, didn't you?
Yeah. Basically, I'll let Dan explain.
Well, they opened it up specifically for the investigation, and the team there were absolutely brilliant. What was his name? There was Ken, the tour guide, and there was John.
John. John's the owner. It's privately owned.
John and Elsie, his wife, they owned the actual museum. They were brilliant. But we went in there. We done the investigation. We got a bit of a tour first, so we got to see all the different things and all the artifacts, and there was a lot to learn. If you watch that video, you'll actually learn a lot because it was just a big eye-opener. I found that the history alone was enough to tell me there's going to be something happening in there that night.
Yeah.
And there was, you know, because like you said, like spirits attach themselves to objects as in they don't want to, like if they don't want to leave or move on, they might be attached to like something that's in that, like their
helmet, their rifle.
Their rifle or their uniform or, you know, something like that. You know,
medals.
Yeah, exactly. So
I want to know how a private collector like him gets or amasses all this this military might. I mean, you'd have to be spending a lot of money doing it, wouldn't you?
I think a lot of it's donated.
A lot of it is donated. Okay, yeah, right. Yeah. We asked him that question, and yeah, a lot of it's donated.
All right. So he probably wouldn't be aware of all the history behind every object.
Ken,
the tour guide, Ken, yeah. he was switched right on, you know, and Johnny's too. I think it's more the fact is that as it comes in, they hear about it from the people that have donated it, and also they do a bit of research and stuff when they have been given the honor. But I think Ken was more the one that was switched on and sort of knew everything about the items.
There was one story Ken told us about a bugle, right? If you actually go on, I'm not going to tell you the story, but if you go on and watch the video, the story behind this Australian bugle is amazing. Remember that?
It's like you couldn't. It was okay. The story itself is that
unbelievable.
What's the word I'm looking for? Coincidental.
Yeah.
Like fate. You know,
it's turned up at all these massive
out of all the places
actions.
In all the places in the world. It came together.
Watch your video. It's all right. when I first got told about it, I'm like, no, come on, you're pulling our leg. But dead set serious.
What was the most surprising thing you found in there? Because I mean, cemeteries you do a lot of, and you know, you come, you're expecting to come across presences and EVPs and what have you. Military museum, I mean, it's different from hospitals and mental asylums and all that sort of thing. You'd think it'd be more calm, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Okay, I got the most surprising thing that caught both Dan and
you're
I.
It's chilling me here.
It was, we have a little static cam that we set up in certain areas of haunted places, because 9 times out of 10, you're going to catch something when you're not in the room. So what we did, we set on the top floor, they've got like just medals and stuff like that. So we set this static cam up in the corner, and we're going through the footage, and Dan goes, oh, check this out, mate. I'm like, oh, okay, what? Basically, we caught, and there's no one behind the camera because it's set up against a wall, some footsteps and someone whistling.
Yeah.
And there was no one in the room.
Yeah, yeah. We actually had a female hum, like singing, and also a whistle, like a distinct male whistle. And so there was two separate things there. Someone, a female humming like a tune. I couldn't quite make out the tune, but it was a certain tune. And then a male whistling.
Awesome.
And it happened a few times.
But the thing is, on that footage too, we're right downstairs on the bottom floor. You can barely hear us off in the distance.
Yeah.
But then when this thing come across, it was like, oh, that's pretty cool.
It was like it was right next to the camera, yeah. And also we got the footsteps walking up and down the stairs. When the camera's looking at them and there's nobody on them.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, that was interesting.
The creak of the stairs, like you hear this going up the stairs and you're like looking at it and thinking, hang on a second, there's no one there.
Yeah.
I'm getting the feeling with you guys too that I'm assuming within the spiritual community or the paranormal community out there in the next dimension, you're probably standing out as beacons, as a way for them to communicate. So you might be, I know you do all the protection and what have you, but you're probably attracting that anyway. So when you end up in these in places like a military museum or a cemetery, which are mortal anchor points, they see you as conduits. So maybe that's why you're getting a lot more luckier than, say, someone who's just having a wander through during the day.
Yeah, exactly right. Well, the thing is, though, too, is I think it comes down to with what we say. Like, when you're in the actual the location, like the cemetery or premises, it's the build-up to it. So we don't get something straight away. Sometimes we're lucky enough to, but it's more we do a lot of talking, like, don't be scared, we're not here to harm you, come through. You know, we try and guide them on how to actually communicate to us.
Well, they should say things like, come to the GoPro or come to this device. So you're assuming they know what the devices are you're talking about.
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah. Well, because you've got to remember, too, like, if we say, oh, come to the GoPro, you could be trying to communicate to a spirit that's from back in the 1800s.
Yeah.
They wouldn't know what a GoPro is. So you say, come to the GoPro, or you come to this device in my hand, my left hand here. You know, come and speak into this. You look at, you know, come to the device with the light on it and speak into this. So we're trying to guide them to that actual device.
That Maryborough Cemetery, I mean, you were getting, and this freaked me out too, you're getting very direct answers to your questions, where they're like straight away.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That was amazing. I have to admit, like, the one thing is with this type of investigation is that if you go in there very respectful, because spirits don't come to us on command, you know, like, you've got to ask them and say, please, if you can, show them the respect they deserve as being a spirit, being someone that used to be alive. And then they come to us and give us intelligent response. Like, I remember on that Maryborough Cemetery.
a lot of music you were saying was...
Every time I go to a cemetery, there's always a party going on somewhere. It's like, really?
but it was interesting.
Not at the cemetery.
No, not at the cemetery. Right. It's always a house that's nearby.
Right beside it, but they've got their music up so loud, it's ridiculous. Yeah. But with that Maryborough Cemetery, the interesting thing was that all our equipment was dying. Like, we had to film the end of it on phones. It was ridiculous. And then, Dan, I think it was you that turned around and said, oh, look, all of our equipment were draining. And it's, what did it say? It said, absolutely.
Absolutely, yeah.
And that was an intelligent response.
Yeah, it was to the actual question.
It was doing it deliberately.
Yeah.
Well, they actually they use the energy out of the devices or ourselves to communicate, to be able to do the things they do, you know.
And they probably can't differentiate between, it's electrical energy, we are bioelectrical energy, and that's, you know, stored energy in a battery. They probably can't tell the difference.
No, they just see the energy, they grab onto it and use it. Yeah, exactly right,
If you can train spirits to actually use you, but then again, you guys would end up being drained and tired and what have you. But
you know what? Every time we do an investigation, doesn't matter how long it goes for or where it's at, we feel like we've run a marathon.
Yeah.
And we've hardly, like, all you're doing is walking slowly around around the location.
Yeah.
And it feels like you've run a marathon. Like, we usually go in his car, so on the way home, I'm zonking out. I'm gone.
We're coming back from when we did this other investigation with our collaboration video. We're halfway home, and I'm like, yeah, this is awesome. And I was starting to feel a bit tired. I remember, hey, Dan, having a conversation about what we just did. He'd answer me like, yeah. And that was it. I'm like, dude, do you want to answer me back, or are you going to go to sleep?
Yeah, I was out like a light.
So essentially, a good night's sleep and some energy food before you go on these.
I survive solely off Gatorade and Powerade and things like that.
It really helps that Gatorade.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Good plug. If we can get him as a sponsor.
Yeah.
Gatorade for all your paranormal encounters. Yeah.
From our sponsor.
Well, we should put it out there. I mean, you are always looking for sponsors. Of anyone who's keen to, you know, I mean, you've got the viewer numbers now. It's growing, and not just here, but certainly, remember, YouTube goes international. So anyone who's keen on jumping on the back of you guys, Kickback Rakaz, just get in touch on the page and you can find your email details. I mean, let's put it out there.
Awesome.
We're always looking to make money.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, that's it. You know, it's, we're always out to, grow.
Because there must be better. I mean, you've got so much gear, but there must be better gear out there.
Oh, yeah. Well, we want to get one piece of equipment that we've just got, which is the thermal cam.
Yeah.
That got some interesting results. We'll talk about that one later. But we want to get a proper spirit box like the U-Butte.
Yeah.
Expensive one, and it does cost money. See, the bigger we get,
because they're bespoke, aren't they? You can't sort of go to a factory and
they're specifically made.
But the bigger we get, then we can look at monetizing and stuff like that, which means that we can bring better content, go to bigger places, and then really get into this and do it as a full-time.
Well, let's put it out there now. Anyone who's hearing this and can put us in touch with someone who creates them, or someone who can even, you know, who's got one they can donate.
Exactly.
A spirit box will actually help us, you know, communicate better. So let's put
and we're more than happy to, drop their link and their details and, you know, to scratch each other's back sort of situation. Yeah, definitely.
Tell us about the thermal camera. I mean, does that add a new dimension? Can you actually see images? Or?
Basically, with the thermal camera, it's we cracked it open, we got it going, and we're still learning it. There's a lot of different settings in there to work out. But we were playing with it, trying to work out what was the best setting to have it on. And the thing is, in a pitch black location like the cemetery where we used it at, it was trying to work out the best setting to get the clearest image. And I think it worked well. Like, there was a lot of things. There's one thing that Pete will tell you about soon, that basically it picked up what would you call that? A blob.
Not an orb.
It was bigger. It was human shape, but it was bigger than a human.
Yeah, and it was following us. So I was standing, basically Pete's got the thermal camera and the GoPro looking at the thermal camera and pointing it at me, and I'm about 10 metres away from him. Now, as I'm moving and walking, this thing is following me. So whatever way I went, it's following me.
Are you feeling anything while it's following you? Are you getting
involved? No, I wasn't. The only thing I was feeling on the night, which at the time I was sort of a bit... on the fence whether it was paranormal or what. I didn't know what was going on, but it's when I started to, that actual time is when I started to feel sick from the food poisoning that I had.
Oh, okay. That, yeah, so it could have been.
Yeah, I had food poisoning.
Sure, it wasn't a hallucination. No, the camera proved it wasn't a hallucination. No,
I was, to tell you the truth, I was excited about it. And I definitely got to give a big shout out to the people that did that video with us. RJ Cox Paranormal, Jenny and Bobby, they were fantastic. And when we got this evidence on the thermal cam, we had them there with us to verify what we caught, what we were seeing in front of us. Like, I was getting excited. This thing, I'm thinking, this is amazing.
Well, it's up there on YouTube now.
Yeah.
A couple of days ago, you posted it. It's just called It Followed Us, Night Watchers featuring RJ Cox. So have a look at that when you get a chance, and you'll see what it's all about.
Awesome.
And it's good to have verification, because verification proves that you guys aren't making up stories.
Exactly. Here. That's why we love taking people with us, you know, whether it be subscribers or other YouTubers.
Friends,
anybody, because it helps clarify, like you said. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, further down the track, we should do a late night here, maybe next year, is that we had cleaners come into this building.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was, well, she said she was, what's the word, astute, or she's... she just could pick up things, and she said, there's a presence in this building.
Yep.
And I said, well, yeah, sometimes I've seen gauges go up and down and volumes on, especially when a song they don't like.
Yeah.
I've seen the volume go down. Even in the studio, I've sat here and watched a fader go up and down. I've gone,
wow.
I'm not touching that.
And
but
they're not automated faders? They're manual?
Well, unless someone's having a fill out in the control room, but it was late at night, so no one's here. Unless they're remotely dialing in, but I've checked that out, and no. I mean, all that sort of stuff can happen, so it could be an electrical impulse or a false, but I have felt a presence here, but no, it's not malevolent. Like, I've seen, you know, how you look out the corner of your eye and go, hang on, there's something there.
Yeah.
I've been here late at night by myself, and, well, whatever. I think we're used to one another, but that'd be an interesting exercise for next year. Probably wouldn't be as exciting as the cemetery, but...
We could make this awesome. It could be, like, for the new season, because we're starting our season two in the new year. It could be Night Watchers featuring Bilko.
I think that'd make an awesome video. I like the idea of that.
That would be awesome.
And, you know, and like, this is one thing we've always said.
Well, we'll do is couple up with dinner and a few drinks. And actually, we'll do that first, and then we'll go on.
I've always said that it doesn't matter if we get nothing or if we get something, the video still goes up. Because that's what I think our subscribers love about us, is that we don't fake anything. As in, if we don't catch anything, we still put the video up. If we do catch it, we still put it up. You know, like there's been exploration videos that we've done that we spoke about last time. You know, the Murder in Creek Road. You know, we caught nothing.
Yeah.
But yet the video still went up. Yeah. So even if we came in and done something, you know, if we didn't catch anything, we'll still put it up.
Have you got any leads in the last few months that where people want you to go? I mean, how further afield are you prepared to travel with your day jobs and what have you?
At this present stage, we've gone as far as Maribyrrh,
down to
South Brisbane. So within that vicinity, you know, that range.
Well, I'm even happy to go to the Gold Coast.
Yeah, even the Gold Coast. Yeah,
what's down there? I don't think the Gulf Coast to me is too artificial.
You'd be surprised, actually, because of their cemeteries and older buildings, historical buildings.
Yeah.
You do catch activity in them, and there are a lot of I'd say paranormal groups, not that they put it on YouTube or anything like that.
That's a waste, isn't it?
Yeah, that we've been in contact with, especially from Beenleigh downwards towards the Gold Coast. That whole region has had so much activity, but trying to get a hold of the people to get in there and the travel time, it just
makes... What about further west, like Cloncurry and all those places outback Queensland? There must be some like old shearing sheds or something. Yeah. I haven't heard, but is there any leads that way, or you haven't heard anything yet?
Haven't really got any leads out that way, but...
No. Let's put it out there, though. Anyone who knows of places like that, let us know.
Yeah, definitely. That'd be great. Yeah. We're definitely... we've actually just put a post up on Facebook asking people that if they've got their home, if they feel like they've got any activity going on in their home, paranormal activity, that we'd be happy to come out and do it, because, you know, we're actually scouting for our new locations for season two now.
Yeah.
And the contact for that is our email account, which is...
kickbackrakaz@gmail.com.
And just shoot a message there to Emmy, and she... because she does our PR, she'll take care of that and get back in contact with his, because our time's pretty full up with trying to answer all YouTubes.
Making money. And
plus doing the editing on that side and research. So Em's come on board, and she's done a really fantastic job for us doing that.
Yeah.
So she will get back to you as quickly as she can.
Yeah. So on that criteria about going to someone's home? What should people be looking for if they think? I mean, I say I feel a presence here in the building. That's probably enough for you guys.
Yeah, yeah.
And I, you know, I'm probably so used to it now. It doesn't really interfere. I haven't really thought about it for a while. But I suppose if we start thinking and consciously of it, then maybe we could make it manifest. I don't know.
So what people are looking for is things like waking up at certain hours. It doesn't have to be 3 o'clock in the morning. A lot of people say it's, you know, 3 a.m. It doesn't have to be. They say 3 a.m. is the witching hour, but things like if you're waking up and you can't, you know, there's always something that wakes you up and you don't know what it is, and it's a certain time every night, or items that have been, you know, if you know you've put an item down somewhere and then all of a sudden you see it's moved, then you know for a fact you've put it down there.
Yeah.
Things like that, they can't look past that because it's not always just their own human error. It could be something else, you know. There's things like that. There's also things like behaviour, you know, behaviour things with the way people act in the home, you know.
Well, so, you know, animals can
big like one.
Cats especially, they can look at an empty chair and go to attack it or something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, big one, yeah, exactly, yeah.
That's another interesting point is how an animal reacts.
Mm.
Sometimes you'll see, like a dog, they're very perceptive as well as cats.
Yeah.
They'll look at something in the corner and then they'll run away from it.
Dogs are big, yeah.
Yeah, that might be paranormal. You don't know.
Yeah.
And if that animal's afraid to go into that area, that could be something else. Or even like when you go to bed at night and you're home alone, your door's closed, you close your door and it's open the next morning.
Or lights, if you know you've turned lights off and then you wake up.
Yeah,
or
that's
a
big one, yeah.
And the lights are on. You know, you might even see it happen before your eyes where the light goes off or on in front of you. Yes, look, we always try and debunk everything, you know, so that could be an electrical fault, you know, there's things you got to think of first, but hey, you know, we're open to anything, so if you just want to contact us and let us know, hey, this is what's happening in my place.
So it's homes as well as, you know, all the institutions we've come across.
Yeah, anywhere. Yeah. We're happy to go to anywhere to investigate and, you know, do a video. And if they don't want their place videoed, we're more than happy to still come out and do the investigate for them. Yeah. We're out to help people with that sort of stuff. You know?
Are you now winding up for Christmas? Anything big before Christmas?
Yeah, we are, actually. We're about to do two... We're about to drop two videos. They're both... what do you call them? Compilation videos, where we're getting all our best parts and moments from our season one of Nightwatches, and another one for our funny stuff as well.
Yeah. You know, so if you have the time videos to go through everything, it's up there. Just look at that, and that'll be up in the next couple of weeks, will it? So.
Yeah, exactly. Well, what we're doing is we're asking people to submit their favourite part. You know, so if there's an episode you like, and I really want you to put that that capture or that part into the video, then what we'll do is we'll feature that, and then we'll put a little shout out to that person saying, you know, voted in by Joe Smith or, you know, whoever.
And when you get sponsors, we can award prizes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, we've got at the moment, we've got a competition to help us grow our channel.
Yeah.
Basically, it's as soon as we hit 1,000 subscribers, we're going to
draw
it out of our subscriber base to go on the chance to win $100 cash.
Hey.
Two movie tickets.
Hey.
And a Night Watchers cap.
Yeah.
They're helping us get to that.
Oh, you got merch.
Yeah, merch.
All right, you guys have arrived then. You've got merch. Okay.
Yeah, so that's a bit of an incentive to help us grow the community, and the online community and the channel, you know. So, like you said, if you subscribe, and it was actually originally if you subscribe and get two friends to subscribe as well, but you know what? What the hell? Let's anybody who subscribes, they're in the running, you know, they're in the draw.
Right.
You know, everybody deserves a chance to win it. So.
Have a look at those videos; they're all up there. Even the Halloween chat we had is up there with my beer. You can find my mug on that website, did you?
It's great.
The Woombye pub is especially good. Because you actually got a couple of staff to help you with that. I really enjoyed it.
That was a good one. Yeah.
Anna was brilliant for that one. Her first reaction to that first EVP.
Priceless.
Come through. It was priceless. She's like, whoa, hang on.
And then she says she actually stayed in that room when she
If you're ever at the Woombye pub, go and have a talk to Anna, the bar manager. She's got some stories, that girl.
Definitely. Okay. Yeah. She stood back in the tracks when that one came through.
You know, and people who sort of half believe when they hear these EVPs or even when they see some of the vision played back, they become believers and they start spreading the word, which is also very important. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, you know, there are a lot of skeptics out there. And even myself, I was, you know, sitting on the fence a little bit before I started this, you know, and... you know, all the things we've caught now, it's just thrown me straight over the other side of the fence. I'm a believer by far now. you can't not be.
You know, I always think that's it's the same with aliens too, is that, you know, we're too big, there's too much out there. Our human understanding is this, you know, we're blinkered by our experience.
Yeah.
And I think once we open up, then it just becomes bigger and bigger, you know?
Well, I'm a big believer in, with that side of things, look at the size of the universe.
Yeah.
You know, you have to be pretty naive to think we're the only living organisms or beings in the entire universe. There's billions of stars.
And if you believe in a God, I mean, then why would you make something so vast with only a, you know...
Exactly.
Defeats the purpose.
Doesn't work. Yeah. Anyway, Kickback Rakaz, subscribe to that YouTube channel now. Have a look at the ones we talked about, the Maryborough Military and Colonial Museum, the Monumental Cemetery, and It Followed Us. Where's the reverb? Okay. All right. You guys, will we see you before Christmas?
Yeah. If you want to speak in, mate, just let us know.
We'll certainly be here.
For sure. Yep.
We will.
Yep, definitely.
Thanks, guys.
No worries. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill. Okay.